Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers, and all children of God who attended the worship online. This is the third lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I explained how the original universe, which was initially one, was divided into the four heavens. And I explained why God had to make this distinction too. The sounds containing light, which had spread through the whole original universe cohere, creating spaces of different dimensions. I said the reason God created the heavens at different levels was because each had a different purpose for human cultivation. By the way, the original light that cohere at the vertex of the spiritual realm divided into three different lights. I'm describing how God cloned himself to three. This process took place in the special place in the first heaven. After the divisions, God the Trinity has never been into the place. He keeps this place separate. The light that fills this place is too bright to describe in our language. Not a single being can ever look into it. It is the place no angel or no saved souls can come close to. Tonight, I'm going to explain God the Trinity. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, after cohering as one light, God first divided himself into three lights. Today's lecture is just as difficult as the last one. So, please listen carefully without any distractions. When I say a light divided into three lights, the idea is not like that a certain lump is divided into the three pieces. From the original light, two more identical lights emerged. Although the original light has been divided into the three, they are not different from each other, but they are all the same one. The original light had initially existed as a one, and the other two lights are newly existing lights. God, the original light that cohered as one, caused two more lights that were like himself to come into the existence. After dividing into three, the light put on the spiritual form that is like that of a man. The original light became the God the Father, and the other two lights become a God the Son and the God the Holy Spirit, respectively. Genesis chapter 1, 23 reads, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." You see, here it says, "Let us," not me, but us. According to our likeness, us and our in this verse refer to God the Holy Father, the Holy Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is true that God planned the human cultivation in this way and that God also took on this image and made us in an image of a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We were created in the image of the Trinity God. We can see here that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all took on a spiritual body of a human form. However, God the Trinity doesn't always remain in the spiritual body that is in man's image. As I said, in the last lecture, God the Trinity owns the fourth heaven. The Trinity God can freely transform his appearance as he wants in the first heaven.
God
In other words, God can return to His original form of a light. And even if He takes on the shape of a human being, He is actually an incredibly large image. However, when He appears to us, He does not have to be that big, so He appears similar to our size. The human imagine that God wears is enormous. He can change His appearance at will. Anyway, original His image in a man is so enormous. Colossians chapter 1, 15 talks about that Jesus God the Son by saying He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. As written, the Bible proves that God the Son came into the being or existence before any other creatures. It is the same with God the Holy Spirit. Because He came into the being the same way, God the Son came into being. Like this, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit were the firstborn of God the origin, even before all the creatures. So long before all things were created, the term of time is about countless years. It wasn't 400, 500 years ago. It was truly countless years ago. God the Son and the Holy Spirit were born like this at the same time and the same way. Before the angelic hosts were created, He was the firstborn of a God countless years ago. Therefore, the status of God the Holy Father is a Father, and the status of God the Son and the Holy Spirit is that of a Son. Many times, the Bible expresses straightforwardly that Jesus, God the Son, is the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 5, 5 says, "So also Christ did not glorify Himself so as to become a high priest, but He who said to Him, 'You are My Son, today I have begotten you.'" God the Holy Spirit was also born from God, the origin, the same way God the Son was born. Therefore, the relationship of God the Holy Spirit with God the Father is also that of a Son of God, just as with God the Father and the Jesus. Galatians chapter 4, 6 says, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" It says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of His Son. It says God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And who is in your heart now? Yes, He is none other than the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says He is the Spirit of His Son. Of course, there are other expressions for Holy Spirit in the Bible. For example, in the Old Testament, He was called the Holy Ghost or Spirit of God, and also Helpers and the Spirit of Truth in the New Testament. Because He is called according to His role at given time. However, the most basic role of the Holy Spirit is the Son of God. That's why the Holy Spirit can call God Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in us who have become the children of God by faith. Therefore, we who receive the Spirit of a Son, the Holy Spirit can also call the God Abba, Father. Many believers vaguely think that the Holy Spirit is the heart of God. Of course, the heart of the Holy Spirit is one within the heart of the Father. However, God the Holy Spirit is also an independent being, and He is standing as a Son of God. Therefore, God the origin and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have the relationship of the Father and the Sons. Now, do you think God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are equal in the rank? Or do they have different ranks? Hebrews chapter 1, 6 described God the Son, Jesus, as the firstborn. Therefore, naturally, God the Son is the first in rank, and God the Holy Spirit is the next. Likewise, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have different ranks. However, it doesn't mean that God the Son does assert authority over God the Holy Spirit. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are like very close brothers. They love each other, trust completely, and serve God the Father with one heart. Since God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are both Son of God, the Bible also uses term the sons of God. Job chapter 1, 6 says, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Again, Job chapter 38, 7 says, When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You see here the all the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, 19 also says, For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. However, the sons of God of Genesis chapter 6 refers to different beings. I will tell you about this in the lecture, Genesis chapter 6. Some people insist that the sons of God in the Bible should refer to angels. A certain version of English Bible translates the term the sons of God as the angels. However, angels can never become children of God. Hebrews chapter 1, 5 says, For to which of the angels did he ever say, You're my son, today I've begotten you, and again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. If an angel is a son, there's no reason to cultivate the humans on this earth. Let me read this again. For to which of the angels did he ever say, You are my son, today I've begotten you? The angels here refers to all angels, including archangels Michael and Gabriel. And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. It means God has never called angels his sons. So God is so strongly denying that angels are his sons. How could any angels be a God's son? God never said to any of the angels, So you are my son. Brothers and sisters, I said the Holy Spirit is also one of God's sons, and the Bible uses the term the sons of God. However, the Bible also says, describe Jesus as the only begotten Son. Regarding only this, you may think God has only one Son. However, when the Bible calls Jesus the only begotten Son, it is in relation to the work and the ministry of Jesus. Without the term the only begotten Son, there would have been great turmoil for 2,000 years. The only begotten Son is the clue that Jesus is the only Savior on this earth. John chapter 3, 16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. His only begotten Son refers to the Son of God who would be sacrificed for our sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This verse goes in pair with Acts chapter 4, 12, which reads, "And there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under the heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." In other words, no one can be saved except by Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. This means that only by the accepting Jesus as our Savior in the name of the Jesus can be received the forgiveness of the sin and achieve the salvation. God gave no other name. Can you accept the Holy Spirit as your Savior? You can't do that. The Holy Spirit is not the Savior. This means that only Jesus is our Savior. Let me say again, only Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, is our Savior. The Holy Spirit cannot be our Savior. The only name by the which we can be saved is Jesus Christ. Just like the confession of the Peter in Matthew chapter 16:16, the Son of the living God, who also becomes the Savior, is only Jesus. Therefore, when the Bible calls Jesus the only begotten Son, it's safe to understand it as a Son of God who came to this earth to become a Savior. Since the days of Jesus, there have been many who called themselves the Savior. If the Bible didn't call Jesus who came as the Savior, the only begotten Son of God, then there would be much more who would be deceived by such lies. That's why the Bible clearly declares that Jesus is the only Savior and that is His only begotten Son of God. Earlier, I told you that after God the origin divided into the God the Trinity, each one of the Trinity put on their own spiritual body. God the Trinity is not the three entities identical in the form and appearance. Of course, they all look very similar. All the three of them are so beautiful that there's nothing compared to them. God the Father exalts the dignity and authority of a Father, and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have slightly different appearances. Likewise, they look a little bit different from each other, but they are one in heart, mind, love, power, and wisdom. So we call them God the Trinity. It is because God the Trinity was originally one. It can be explained by the taking an example of a vessel and the contents in it. Their appearances is like a vessel, so the vessel can be diverse. However, the contents in the vessels are all same among the three. In other words, the heart, mind, the love, power, and the wisdom of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all identical. Since they are completely one, God the Father also felt that God the Son of God fell when He came to the earth as a Jesus. So did God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was in sorrow, God the Holy Father, who was in heaven, also felt sorrow. God the Holy Spirit also felt the same. When Jesus suffered from pain on the cross, God the Father also felt the same pain. That's why when Jesus was hung on the cross, mysterious things happened. Darkness fell over the whole land, and the earth shook, rocks exploded. All these things happened to express the heart of God, the Father, who felt all the pain together with His Son. Since God the Trinity divided from the one origin, even though their looks is slightly different, their core is the same. However, in the case of humans, no matter how similar identical twins may look, their hearts and the thoughts are different. It can be the same. They may be very similar, but they cannot be the same. There are also cases that are not similar at all. They may think and use their minds more similarly than other people or other siblings, but they are not exactly the same. Because identical twins are also different souls. On the contrary, the Trinity God has a different spiritual bodies, but the essence of the Spirit is the same. However, when it comes to human attributes, their characteristic is slightly different. I don't mean that the human attributes in their hearts are different. It rather means that among the attributes of the heart, those that appear more outwardly are different for each of God the Trinity. Say, there are two men who are identically full of God. Even though they are overflowing with the love in their hearts, depending on how they express their love and the expression of their love will seem different. Among the attributes of a spiritual love, it's gentle, but it also doesn't rejoice with unrighteousness. If one who accomplished the spiritual love showed this attribute of the not rejoicing with unrighteousness outwardly, you may feel his personality is quite strong. On the other hand, if the other shows his gentle side, you may feel he is soft and mild. This does not mean that the latter one who appears soft has achieved more spiritual love than the one who appears strong. Vice versa, the former one who appears strong does not have a less spiritual love than that who appears soft. It's just a difference in personality that appears on the outside. By the same token, God the Trinity is always one in everything. Let me explain when it comes to the humanity among the God the Trinity. God the Father keeps the perfect harmony of divinity and humanity. However, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit manifest a different aspect of the Father's nature, with some being more prominent than others. For example, God the Son shows more of the characteristic of the firstborn. He's responsible and strong. In other words, God the Son empathizes divinity rather than the humanity. It must be done that way because it is the mission given to our Lord as a Savior. On the other hand, for God the Holy Spirit, the humanity is manifested outwardly more than the divinity. Therefore, the Holy Spirit shows more of the delicate, sensitive, and the soft characteristics. Because of this characteristic of God the Holy Spirit, many pastors compare the Holy Spirit to a mother. God the Father surely has the capability to manage human cultivation alone. Then why did He have God the Son and God the Holy Spirit come into existence? It's the deep providence of a God who desired to accomplish the human cultivation within perfect justice. It's to be a secret hidden long before the ages. It's a very mysterious providence, so even if you understand the God of creation and the book of the Genesis, you will be able to sense how mysteriously He prepared for a long time to cultivate all human beings, and how precisely He providence is being carried out to this day. All throughout the history of human cultivation, God the Trinity divided up the duties of the Trinity according to eras. God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit accurately shared their respective roles for human cultivation. Of course, it is God the Father who governs and supervises all the history. God the Father has managed all the jobs, just as sending God the Son to earth as Jesus and sending the Holy Spirit after the resurrections. In addition, in the days of the Old Testament, God the Father governed by Himself. He spoke and conveyed His will through the prophets. However, the role of the Savior to save sinners and the role of the Comforter to care for children of faith were entrusted to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit respectively. In other words, God the Son came to this earth in the flesh and became Jesus Christ and the Savior of mankind, and God the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, has the mission of the nurturing God's children in the truth and the caring for them until they reach heaven. Because the Trinity God divided the roles in this way, Satan is unable to bring any charges against God. For example, Jesus is the Word of God who came to this earth in the flesh. He not only has a divinity, but also has a humanity like humans, and he received the human cultivation just like any man. So he felt hungry and tired on this earth. However, if Jesus had only divinity and had never suffered pain, sorrow, pain, hunger, Satan would have immediately sued against God, saying, because Jesus is not a human being but God with a divinity. He cannot pay for people's sins. What is the first qualification to become our Savior? It's a human like us that he should have to be. Why? Since all people became sinners because of Adam, the man who sinned, the being who will atone for our sins must also be human. So, when Jesus, the Son of God, came to the earth, he was born in the flesh as a man. Additionally, he should not be a descendant of Adam. Adam's descendants are already sinners. Satan would accuse the sinner of how he could atone for the sins of mankind. So, the Lord was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus had to undergo human cultivation to prove that he did not commit any sin during his life on the earth. Also, if the Lord had only the divinity, he would not have felt the pain of the cross and Satan would have accused him. God knew all of this in advance and sent God the Son to this earth as a human being. By allowing Jesus to experience everything thoroughly as a human being, he was qualified to become a perfect Savior. Our Lord also fasted and starved for 40 days. He has been betrayed, slapped, and suffered all sorts of the indignities. Our Lord has experienced all of them. Therefore, Satan hands over those who believe in Jesus as the children of God without being against God. This is the same reason why the Holy Spirit had to come to this earth. In the Old Testament era, people were saved by keeping the law. However, after salvation through the cross was opened, people were saved when they believed in Jesus Christ in their hearts. However, even in the New Testament era, if God personally ruled, as in the Old Testament era, Satan would sue again, saying, because God himself rules, people fear God and believe in Jesus Christ. That is far from believing in the Lord from the center of their heart. God knew this in advance and gave the Holy Spirit as a gift to his children. The Holy Spirit informs God's children about sin, righteousness, and the judgment. Also, he helps God's children always realize and feel the love of God the Father and the Lord. If you do not have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you will not want to live according to the Word of God while loving the world. Compromising with the world. However, the Holy Spirit comes into you and lets you know that there's judgment. If you commit a sin, he teaches you will be judged and immediately interrogated and go to hell according to your sin. If you live righteously, righteously in the world, He lets you know that you will receive a reward and go to good heavens according to the amount of the faith you have. While the Holy Spirit teaches us about the righteousness and the judgment, He comforts and encourages us with His warm love. The Holy Spirit is always knocking on your heart and telling you that if you do the works of the flesh, you will die. If you obey it, you will be blessed. If you disobey it, it will be disaster to you. The Holy Spirit helps God's children to be willing to live by the word, loving Father God rather than be forced to live. Also, through the work of the Holy Spirit, the gospel is spread throughout the world so that countless souls believe in Jesus Christ and receive the eternal life. In this way, everything about the human cultivation is included in the God's fundamental plan. So far, it has been done without any single error. In the midst of God's wisdom and plan, the original God separated Himself into the Trinity. I will explain about the separation of the Holy Spirit, which can be done only by God in the next lecture. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this lecture I explain how and why God the origin, who exists alone, became the God the Trinity. God prepared a way for human cultivation with perfect justice and the love step by step to get true children. He Himself gave birth to sons and alerted the duties for each. When people give birth to their child, they all want their child to become someone great. Even if they suffer, they wish for their child to live a happy life. However, when God gave birth to His sons, it was only for us. One of God's sons was born to become an atoning sacrifice that would redeem us from our sin. The other son was given to the task of helping souls achieve what they could not carry out because of their weaknesses. If the Holy Spirit had not come to this earth, there would be very few souls who would have been saved on their own. It's different from the Old Testament. The time was not the era of the Holy Spirit. So even though the Holy Spirit did not come to our hearts, there were still souls who were saved and the souls who went to the New Jerusalem. However, today, if the Holy Spirit had not come for over 2,000 years, very few souls would go to heaven. The New Jerusalem cannot even be dreamed of. Why is that so? The world in the Old Testament era, sin was not as rampant as like today. Therefore, people with a good conscience were able to persevere and live according to the truth. Therefore, although there were only a small number of people, they entered New Jerusalem being meek and sanctified, so they were very high in the hierarchy of heaven. But what about today? As time passes, sins become more serious and common. The severity of a sin was different 5 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, and will be even more different 50 years from now on. In fact, even 50 years ago, the world was already very stained with sin. Moreover, since the 1970s, the world has fallen very quickly into sin. In particular, as visual technology has developed since then, many sins have been committed by the people seeing internet and the computer. Especially young people have learned about the adultery. lusts and the works of the flesh by seeing them. Such a sin were extremely rare even 40 or 50 years ago. In the 1980s, the seriousness of sin became worse and faster. And with the advent of the color TV and the vivid LED screen, stimulated the lust and the adultery, and the people fell into the sin by watching and listening. This means that if the Holy Spirit did not come, we could not be saved. Moreover, the seriousness of the sin cannot be expressed in the world in these late days. In the 1960s, a farming area in Korea had no gates. In other words, there were no thieves, so there was no need for a gate. But today, even if farmers leave their harvest inside the house, they are stolen by the thieves driving a truck. In the past, when I was praying in the Jochiwon, I heard that my next-door neighbors left a year's harvest at home, but a thief took it all in a truck. People are like this today. If the Holy Spirit did not come, we couldn't be saved by our own strength. How many times do you still do evil even though the Holy Spirit is constantly knocking on your heart and teaching you? This means that unless the Holy Spirit comes, you cannot be saved. Because the people in the Old Testament were relatively good, some souls were saved. And 2,000 years ago, the Lord ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit came. But why was that time 2,000 years ago? Have you ever thought about it? What would it have been like if the Holy Spirit had come 3,000 years ago? Then we wouldn't be saved now. If the Holy Spirit had come in 3,000, with the cultures and civilizations so developed and the population so large, salvation would have been more difficult than it is now. Do you get it, what I say? During the 3,000 years of human cultivation, God sent Noah's flood at exactly the right time, judged him once with the water, and again 2,000 years later, the Savior came for us in this way. Today, in the age of the Holy Spirit, He is wrapping up a human cultivation until the end. This is the most appropriate time, neither earlier nor later. Since God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are one in her with God the Father, they completely obey the will of God. I hope such a love of God, the Trinity, will be engraved on your heart. May you love God the Trinity all the more from the depth of your heart and come forth as a precious fruit as a true child in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.